I gotta fix the beginning. Run it over. I could, but I'm not gonna.
Alrighty, Joel Radio, what's going on? Joel Radio with you here. In a new setting. This is different, a new studio. Now, I've done Joel Radio on the road. I've done it from Corey Hall's apartment and other places on the road, but I've never done it from another studio. So this is new to me.
How's it feel?
It's good so far.
All right.
Welcome in. I'll tell you where I am in a second. It's nice that your guests can have a dog with the studio. I like that. I like having a dog on my lap as I podcast.
Yeah, me too.
It's a nice feeling. I'm at the Ted Moss Studios. Does the studio have a name? Did you name this thing?
It's the OK Boomer Studios.
The OK Boomer Studios in beautiful... What is the name of this place?
I tell people we're just outside of Flint, Michigan.
And that's fine, because you don't want to give out too much information.
Yes,
never. You don't want people showing up.
That's right.
It's either fans or enemies.
Yes.
Or whatever.
I want to be hidden, don't I? Especially with the podcast I'm going to be putting out.
Well... What do you think is the fuck? Because we're here. I think we mentioned it last time you were on Joel Radio, but you were going to make your own show.
Yes.
And you've been recording those.
I have.
Including an episode with me.
That's right.
That we just finished.
And it was fantastic.
It was a good show.
Should be on out and available 2 months from now. I don't know.
I don't know when. I will tell you that episode of, is it Ted Talks Too Much?
Yes.
Okay. That episode of Ted Talks Too Much, I think I've told stories that maybe I've never told on my show, on Joel Radio.
Intimate details
I don't know
of your
it's
life.
Intimate details. You, some of the topics we cover, we're not going to go through them again.
Yeah.
How I got into podcasting, how that led into an opportunity in commercial radio, another podcasting show that I sort of, a commercial podcast that I did for a second.
Yeah, well, you know,
a lot of near misses in that. And then we talked about dating and stuff like that. And I don't talk about that much on this show.
Well, so my thought is, if I'm interviewing people, I never run out of topics.
Yeah.
If you bring the topic with you, let's go with that.
Yeah.
What do you know about? What do you think? Which is good.
Yeah, it's good. So I like this. We're in Ted's house. He built the studio. I think it's very good. You certainly have nicer equipment than I do.
Yes.
My equipment is perfectly adequate, and it makes a nice show. I am complimented constantly about the sound of my show and how professional it sounds. Until we are done here, I won't know how professional this sounds.
Well,
I think it'll sound good. You played me something you recorded earlier, and that
so
sounded
too.
Nice.
You know what? It's kind of like my daughter when she played soccer. She didn't want to buy black soccer shoes. She wanted to buy yellow soccer shoes.
Yeah.
I said, well, you can get yellow soccer shoes, but... you got to play up to the shoes.
Yeah.
Because everybody's going to be going, okay, you got all that. What are you going to do? It's like buying a Gibson guitar.
Yes.
Like, you should be able to play.
Yeah.
You don't learn on a Gibson.
It's a thing. You don't really learn on a Gibson. But, you know, there's some of the things that you'll find is that for some people, complicated equipment makes them not want to use it because it's not easy enough for them to use.
Right.
And I think the other thing is that if you spend money, you should be able to get that money back. That's the thing about like buying a Gibson or something is that, you know, sometimes you buy a guitar, you can sell that guitar for more money. It will only go up.
Yes.
And then you buy a cheap guitar and you realize that ain't, you know, once you take it out of the guitar store, it just lost half its value right there that you'll never get it back.
Like your car.
Yeah, like your car. Yeah. So I think you bought nice stuff. I don't know what you spent for all this. I'm looking at the board more than anything, but I think the mic I'm talking into is expensive.
Yeah, $100.
This is only a $100 mic?
Yeah. $100.
Is it a condenser mic or a dynamic mic?
A condenser.
Okay.
And these are dynamic.
The guest mics.
Yes.
Yeah, those are more like stage mics. But again, pretty good ones.
Yeah, they were, I'm going to say $70, $80.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
You know, it's you know,
I'm comfortable. And then when we went from Ted's show to my show, we switched chairs.
Yes.
I'm now in the producer's chair sitting behind the board where Ted was earlier.
You notice that chair is up higher, so you're kind of looking down.
Yeah, you're very low.
It's kind of the Johnny Carson thing.
Does it go higher? I'd like to really sit up high.
Yeah, it does.
I'd like to really you got any phone
look
books?
Down at,
I want to really be as high as I can
you
possibly
can stand
be
on the desk if you'd
to
like
do
to.
This. It's been a couple weeks since I saw you and we did the show. You gave me a gift on the last show. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, you gave me a drone.
Yes, you're welcome. And you learned how to fly it briefly. I think
that thing took two flights in my in the Joel Radio studio.
Awesome.
It took two flights. Now here's what happened. First flight, I hit the joystick, it went up.
Yeah.
It went right, left, and I landed it perfectly.
Yeah, but I told you go easy, right?
And I did, and it was great. Then the second one, I went like, you know what I didn't do is I didn't attach it to my phone. I didn't activate the camera in it because it's got a little camera so you can shoot video in it. I said, I'm going to do that. So I pulled open that, you know, how the remote has the thing slides down. You put your phone in there.
Yeah.
I did that. And as I'm doing that, I'm watching, I'm actually recording a video, which I sent to you.
Yeah, it's
probably a minute of flying around and I'm looking at myself. But as I'm looking at the thing, I realize I lost track of the drone. It flew right into the wall and it landed. I stopped recording the whole thing. So, okay. Made the video, shared the video with a couple, you and my girlfriend.
Right.
And then I went to fly it again. And I hit the button to go straight up, and the thing went up and to the left and hit the wall. And then it went again up and to the left and hit the wall. Then it went up and again and into the wall. And I go, something's not right here. So what it turns out, first thing I did, and I can share this with you.
Somebody bought you a low-quality drone.
You didn't buy the greatest drone. The instruction booklet for that drone is, like, written by a guy who does not speak English, I think. What happened is I did find online... There's somebody wrote a manual for that that is actually in English.
Oh, okay.
And it has pictures of the original one and has things circled. It says, if your drone flies this way, you have to hit this button on the remote. I don't even know what all the buttons do.
Right.
And so I'm going to use that. I don't think the drone is broken. I think it needs, the sensors need to be reset.
I have spare parts.
Yeah, well, there's
a thing. Do you need something?
No, and then the other thing is the little thing that's supposed to protect the blade does not go on mine. It's like the wrong size. They're too small, I believe.
No, you're putting them on backwards.
I looked at the photos and it seemed to be right. Anyway, I appreciate the drone. I'm going to have fun with that drone.
I'll show you.
All right, I don't know if we have time mine. For that. But that's I got you some gifts. So here's a little bag.
Oh, wow.
With gifts, returning the favor, I guess.
A red gift bag.
I don't
bag.
Know what you paid for that. I think these are things that you can use and that you'll enjoy that you may or may not have. And even if you have them, you can still use them.
You probably bought me a bunch of guitar picks.
You know, you'd have to open it up and take a look for yourself.
Can I open it up now?
Absolutely. Let's do it now.
It's a beautiful... sack.
Little gift bag, yeah.
Let's
little
see
gift
what bag. We got here. This is...
Yes.
Oh, you know capo.
That is, that is a capo for your guitar.
It's actually a very nice capo.
It is a nice capo that matches your guitar.
That's
right,
awesome,
it's black.
Dude.
Right, let me take a look at that one, because I think it's the black one. I think it's the black one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's black that's chrome.
Awesome. That's awesome. You know what? I have one for my acoustic, but I don't have one for my electric.
Exactly, and I feel like
so that's cool.
You need one. A lot of people just keep it with the guitar. And certainly if you have multiple guitars, you're going to need multiples of what's next.
Yes, which is Snark Super Tight HZ.
Yes.
Famous Snark Tuning Plus Spot On Hertz Accuracy.
It is a clip-on tuner.
What the hell?
It's a nice clip-on tuner.
Oh.
That's a clip-on tuner, and it's a nice
cool.
one.
You have one of these, don't you?
I have one of those, but here's the thing. I bought one, but you know, Ted knows I bought a second guitar, a real cheap guitar that I'm working on. So I bought another tuner.
Yeah.
So I bought two of those. I've been using that actual model for the last couple weeks.
And?
It's great. It's wonderful.
Yes, I've been thinking about getting one of these.
Well, you need one because it's so easy to tune up with that.
Yeah.
And that one's really good. And I'll show you what's nice about this one. See that little gold thing in the front? That's a Snark, I think. That's the button that turns it on. And there's other buttons that you can set your frequency. There's a manual in there if you want. But basically, you're going to pull that little plastic thing, and that opens the battery.
Yes.
And then you pull that thing, clip it to your headstock, and it's going to tune it very quickly.
Well, thank you, Joel.
It does a really good job of that.
I feel like
it feels nice. It's like rubberized.
It is. It's
everything.
Very,
it's a really
yes,
nice
it's very
thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's a super nice one. I feel like we're almost in a relationship at this point, though. I don't know what I have to do before you leave.
Well,
I'm hoping to just buy dinner.
Just I want you to know that. Couple things about this. It's super tight and hurts. So you people can
snarky.
Determine what kind of relationship we're in. It's super tight,
Ted.
Yeah,
promises.
And hurts. You can set the hertz. Do you want to be 440 hertz? Or do you want to be 428? I don't know. 440
why you said
is hertz. A. 440 hertz.
Is it?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Because I know music. I've been learning music,
oh,
as you
wow.
have. So, yeah, there you go. Super tight. And if you don't have one of those, every guitar player needs one. And I think if you have different guitars in different rooms of the house, you probably need multiple clip-on tuners.
Well, now I have to go to my phone, open up my phone, go to a certain app.
You don't anymore. That's way better. It took me, when I bought my guitar, I didn't have one of those for a year.
Yeah.
Not only that, now, it depends on your equipment. So you can actually not only just tune it, if you put your finger anywhere on the fingerboard and make that note, it'll tell you what note that is.
Yeah.
And it'll also recognize chords.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's polyphonic. So if you strum an E should show up, you know, whatever. And you can see it gets fooled as you're strumming quickly.
Yeah.
But if you're just worried about, is this the chord? Is this the note? You're looking for certain notes in the scale. That'll help you with it. And it helped me a lot.
Well, that's kind of cool because I actually found a chord I liked, and I don't know what chord it is.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a B formation, but it's up on about the 7th fret.
Yeah, that'll tell you what it is.
I think it's an E, but I'm not sure.
Depends, yeah.
Cool. God, we're going to be in a band eventually, dude. We're going to have all this good equipment.
And they'll be listening to it on two different podcasts.
Yeah, I'm afraid we're all going to have yellow shoes and not be able to kick the ball is what's going to end up happening.
Anyway, so those are my gifts for you.
Thank you. That's very nice. Yes, that's super nice.
Yes. Every guitar player needs a capo. Again, I didn't have one for a year. I got one. Makes your guitar just sound cool.
Well, yeah, and
just
also
to put it on the 8th fret and just play your open chords on it. Yeah. It just sounds tremendous.
Also, you can then use your standard chords and sing to any song.
Exactly, yeah, because your voice is out of the range.
I'm kind of a baritone, and I have a hard time, unless it's certain
make
songs.
Make the adjustment there.
Yeah.
So anyway, I got that going on. And
thank you.
Yeah. And we're going to talk. We have to do a little bit of a shorter show than normal because of my schedule today. But this is great. I love it. Let me ask you this about music. We'll stay on the music topic. Are you a big, you rock and roll, I know you like. I'm looking at your CDs you got over here, rock and roll, R&B.
My record collection.
You got a record collection as well. How big of a Van Halen fan are you? Are you a Van Halen fan at all?
I went through my Van Halen stage.
Were you a 70s, 80s Van Halen fan or like a later?
I was a David Lee
You're
Roth.
You're a David Lee Roth fan. Well, that's nice. I'm glad to hear that.
You know, I like the Cabo Wabo guy, too.
Sure, Sammy Hagar.
Yeah, I like Sammy.
Sammy's great.
And yeah, he's a great singer, I think he had it a lot.
I only saw Van Halen as a unit in concert once. And that was at the Pontiac Silverdome with Sammy Hagar.
Oh, really? How was it?
It was great.
Yeah.
It was the Monsters of Rock tour with Scorpions, Metallica, all those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. I had a great time at it. But, you know, David Lee Roth, you know, since he left Van Halen, has been on the road as a solo guy for years and years. He's actually out there now.
He's a crazy
doing
dude.
Tours. And, so he was just in Vegas. He just opened a Vegas stint.
Do you know he has a full bodysuit tattoo?
Does he?
Oh,
I've seen that. He has like a vest and a thing.
No, the whole thing. The whole body is now tattooed.
But David Lee Roth, and even in Van Halen, he got the criticism about how he can't sing.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, we're going to hear what the current version of David Lee Roth sounds like. Live from Vegas, via the power of YouTube. You can look these up.
All right.
And I'm going to play one for you. And you just, without judgment, we're going to listen to this. Everyone at home will listen. If you haven't learned this, this is a song that you would know. I forget what album this is from. It might be Women and Children First, but Dance the Night Away. Do you know it?
Yes.
Dance the Night Away. It's got a little heat. I think he talks and does an intro here. So we're going to try to skip
this. This is him currently.
This is a current version of Dave singing Dance the Night Away. Let me see if I can get this song. This is opening night in Las Vegas.
Oh my God. That is horrible. Oh, it's him.
I love this. This
Turn
is the
it
best.
Off.
You heard enough?
Yeah. I'm sad. I don't want to know this.
It can make you sad.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear him doing Unchained?
Dude, is that another? That was like he couldn't even hear what key he was supposed to sing in.
It's horrible. So bad. I haven't listened to this one yet. my another God. Classic Van Halen, Unchained.
Yeah.
I believe Van Halen 2, maybe, Unchained. Yeah. Sometimes I forget which Van Halen album stuff is on. Now, I'm listening to this going, the band sounds good.
And actually, the person doing the screams is okay. Yeah. But that's not him.
No, that was, he just screamed.
That was his scream?
That was his scream.
You think?
Let's see if he does better in Unchained.
All right. No.
He's not even starting with the right lyrics. This is the second verse.
He's not even starting on the right key.
Yeah, he's not even starting with the right lyrics.
Yeah, but he's flat.
Yeah.
He's
not even. That's what you thought. And now you're looking at Dave. Look at what he.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, you can scream.
I think you ought to stick with the screaming.
Oh,
that's the
it's
best
so
part.
Bad. It's
you
so
know,
bad.
It's sad.
It is sad.
You know, there's he's working with what he's got.
Yeah.
And that's like some of these ladies on dating sites. That's all you got. I know you think this is a sexy picture, but it's not.
I liked.
I know, David,
yeah.
You think this is good,
yeah.
But it's not. Somebody should tell
so
him it's not.
I thought the band sounded good and the background vocals sounded really good. And then I was listening to a guy named Eddie Trunk, who's like a rock and roll radio host. He has some shows on satellite and you can get his clips on YouTube and stuff. And he was talking about it. He heard it and goes, not only does Dave not sing good and never has been able to sing good, he goes, I know the band sounds good. He goes, but let me tell you something. Those are pre-recorded tracks. He goes, I don't want to tell you how I know this for sure, but I know for a fact that background, the band and the backing vocals are pre-recorded.
Oh.
Which makes it even sadder.
It does.
So I'm like, well, that band sounds good. I mean, it sounds like the Van Halen we know from the records.
Oh, yeah.
But boy,
that's
terrible.
Sad. Well, I mean, does he have to have rights to perform those songs?
Well, I mean,
Van Halen?
They pay a royalty. You know, you pay a live royalty. I mean, certainly, if he wanted to release that, he would have to give more payment to
the songwriters. I'm wondering if Van Halen has the right to refuse him access to singing that song.
It doesn't.
Like, you're wrecking the song.
They don't own the rights to the song. I mean, I guess they could stop it, but I think it's basically you pay the royalty for the song and you get it. I mean, he wouldn't have access to the Van Halen master track, which means he had people come in and re-record these things,
sure.
Which is why they sound so good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, I mean.
How did you discover this?
It was on, you know, some website I go to, or it was in my news feed.
And you thought this would be interesting.
Well, look, I like rock and roll and I like Van Halen.
Yeah.
But I mean, I literally think I could sing better than that.
Oh, I think you could too.
Yeah.
I think
It's just it's like bad karaoke at that point.
Well,
I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's the real guy doing it, but I don't know if you want the real guy.
Yeah.
Because believe me, if you go on and you want to look up you can waste your whole day. Look up Van Halen tribute bands.
Yeah.
Because you'll hear Van Halen tribute bands doing Van Halen just like Van Halen.
Right.
And it's awesome.
Right.
It sounds good. I want to see that.
How much does he get paid to do this in Vegas, do you think?
Probably lots and lots of money.
Yeah.
And it was probably a very expensive ticket.
Like what, $5,000-$10,000 a show or something?
I don't know.
Like
it's probably at least 100 to get in, if not 200.
Yeah, but I wonder how much they're paying him to sing poorly.
Whatever. They didn't know what they were getting,
Would think he'd have to come in and perform.
Here's the thing. I'm listening to it go, this isn't very good, but I don't have any skin in the game. I didn't pay for a ticket. If I paid for a ticket, I think I'd be upset.
Yeah.
But if you went and had a great time, then maybe there's nobody that's been harmed in I don't know.
The sad thing is, you know, people that can sing good, really good.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll see them like perform acoustic on Howard Stern, a lot of different places.
Mm-hmm.
Or, what was it, Loggins and Messina?
Yeah.
Day's House or whatever it's called. Where
And
they're just good.
Yeah.
They're just good.
Yeah.
Whenever.
Some guys.
They're talented.
But, you know, singers don't sound the same. It's the voice, it goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Voice goes. So unless you get help, I mean, even look, I love Bruce Springsteen. I've seen Bruce Springsteen all over the country. He doesn't sing like he used to.
No.
But he gets away with it. He changes the keys of some of the songs.
Well,
in order to match his voice, we were just talking about that. You know, he'll lower the key. And,
I think the more you sing, the more your voice becomes kind of this rusty thing.
Yeah.
Like my voice is a lot rustier than it ever was when I was younger.
Yeah.
But I think it comes from opening your vocal cords and singing from your stomach and blowing air past them.
Mm-hmm.
That somehow it's tough on them. And yeah. that's why all these old guys, these Ray Charles and all those guys had kind of that.
The raspy.
That raspy, yeah. yeah. And I sing every day and I'm getting more and more raspy. Not yeah. I'm not more. It's not higher quality singing,
right? Well, but I mean, the voice, character Joe Cocker had a raspy voice.
Yeah, yeah,
a
great but singer. Same thing.
Yeah,
yeah, same thing.
And you certainly, you go to Paul McCartney. I go to lots of Paul McCartney shows sure. whenever he comes to town. Not the same.
Yeah,
but you know, you get away with it when the performance is good, the music sounds good.
You're selling the name,
that's and you're energetic.
Yeah.
And Dave was pretty energetic in those clips. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly Dave used to jump off the drum riser and do splits, and none yeah. of that's in there anymore. But you know, Bruce Springsteen used to jump on top of the piano, and
yeah,
I think he did jump on top of the piano in the last tour, but that was a few years ago.
Springsteen,
now,
did?
Yeah,
Springsteen
will crowd surf.
Yeah, how old is Springsteen at this
he
point?
He is 72 Lord. Or something.
He's older than me, dude.
Yeah, he's old, but. You know, he dyes his hair, yeah. and but it looks good.
Do you think I ought to dye my hair?
I don't know.
I've been thinking about going all white.
Your hair is not all that gray. I mean, it's gray, but it's a mixture of gray and
but what I'm thinking about white instead of gray.
Would your hair be black or brown?
When I was young?
Yeah.
It was brown. It's actually light brown when I was young. Yeah. Then my kids
and you
think
don't put
of it
anything
as
in
black.
It?
No.
No.
Okay. No, I yeah. put goop to try and hold in place. Otherwise, I look like the picture on the wall.
Yes.
Not good.
I have product in my hair as well. yeah. In fact, I bought product because I have dinner with my family after
yeah,
this.
And
I will go reapply my product before I go. But yeah, so, I mean, you know, look, if you got to do it, if you're in show business, you kind of got to do it. You kind of got to make your dye your hair and all that. And Springsteen does all that. And I'm okay with that. That doesn't bother me. But, you know, he puts on a great show still. Just Dave's show. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think well, I'd yeah. enjoy that
well,
Dave
he's
show.
Trying to make some money.
Yeah.
Okay.
He probably needs money.
Do you think?
You know, I know people are like, he's set for life because he, you know, but
it
people don't buy CDs like they used to or records like they used to.
It depends on where you live your life. If you live
you
your life
all. Yeah.
in
what
Detroit,
you yeah.
he's probably
Absolutely.
Set.
Yeah.
But if you want to live in L.A.,
well,
probably not so much.
But it's, you know, if you're spending a lot of money, you can be making all the money in the world and you could be spending all the money in the world. They say Johnny Depp spends like more money. Like Johnny Depp is in the red.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that was like Michael Jackson.
Same thing. Johnny Depp has homes all over the world. They also say that he was buying, I forget, because he went through this divorce with Amber Heard.
Yeah.
He was buying 10 guitars a month.
What the hell?
And he wasn't buying Epiphones like you and I.
Yeah.
you know, he was buying vintage Gibson and Fender guitars.
He plays. Yeah, but he can't play 10 a month.
Exactly. No one can play 10 a month.
That's crazy.
It's insane. Sell them. I mean, he's probably not buying guitars at the low. He's not looking for bargains to make money on selling them like a dealer would.
You know, I think that's the interesting thing about rich people is that they yeah. spend their money because everybody right. thinks you yeah. make a lot of money.
Yeah.
You're sitting on a pile of money. But actually,
yeah.
I don't care if you're buying a yacht or right. a helicopter or a guitar or an yeah. island. You're yeah. buying stuff from people and they're yeah. paying the salespeople and the people that made
sure.
the stuff.
Yeah.
So you're supporting the economy.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks that wealthy people are just sitting on a whole pile of money. And I think yeah. in most cases, most wealthy people,
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they're upside down. They put some aside,
yeah.
but they're spending most of their money.
People don't realize what it takes to like have a big house and what that all costs.
Yes.
It's like, okay, I can make that mortgage payment. Okay. But now you got your utilities, your taxes, all that stuff. It gets expensive. You know, the insurance, all it all gets,
yeah.
you know, it all adds up. And at yeah. the end of the day, you know, I think for most people that own a home, I don't know, maybe it's been your experience, but I think it's mine. My mortgage payment is the smallest payment I make. I mean, compared to if you add up everything else, it's way more than the mortgage.
Yeah.
Between the utilities, the insurance, and the taxes, that is all more than the actual monthly payment on a 30-year lease. Yeah.
My last mortgage, I had a double mortgage. I had a jumbo plus another one. So I had
more house than
I
needed.
Well, I was in a position where I could afford it at the time.
Well, but
you know, I had a house and I had a cottage and I had a condo down south and I had how much can I spend on real
estate?
And
then you start getting taxed on the second home.
Well, yeah, and everything is different.
Yeah. What is your taxes on the second home versus your first home? Because your first home, you can deduct that, you know, property tax.
They had something weird about school taxes that I was taxed on schools on my cottage up north
yeah.
because it wasn't a primary residence.
Exactly.
Like, what the hell? Yeah. I don't have kids in the school.
It's nuts.
So you're hitting me really hard on
it. It's crazy what they get you
but
for.
What happens eventually?
Yeah.
Eventually you learn that when you buy more stuff, you just have more problems and more responsibilities.
Yeah, all right.
Like if you get to the place where you own 5 or 6 properties, like I did mm-hmm. at one time with office buildings and that kind of crap,
yeah.
something is busted, broke down, going wrong at one of the places all the time.
Yeah.
You know, the furnace is out
sure,
here,
yeah.
the roof's falling apart yeah. there. You know, a tree just
it's fell
across
happen.
A driveway up right. north. This has yeah. to be, you know, there's just issues.
Yeah.
There's always issues. And you have to at some point decide how complex do you want your life to be?
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens, hopefully, eventually you go, I want to get rid of all this shit because mm-hmm. it just, none of it makes sense. I want to simplify. I only can sit in one chair. I only can sleep in one bed at a time.
Yeah.
You know, I might have a, you know, I got a little.
What's the point in having
it? Exactly.
Because like if I was like, okay, so if I won the lottery.
Yes.
Like I love New York City. I went to college in New York at yes. NYU and
great
I love
town.
Hanging out there. And
yeah.
I'm going probably once a year for the last 4 or 5 years. I've gone to New York City and for one thing or another. Usually it's a Broadway show. I saw Bruce there
yeah.
a couple times. And I'm like, man, I would go buy an apartment in New York. I'd go buy a condo or a loft or something. And then I thought about it and I go, wait a minute. If I'm rich, if I've got tens of hundreds or millions of dollars, why not just stay in the nicest hotel for 2 weeks?
Really?
Exactly. Even for $1,000 a night, I'll still be up ahead rather than trying to own property.
You know what? I bought a timeshare in Aruba at one time.
Yeah.
I was down at the Marriott and mm-hmm. went next door and bought a timeshare at their timeshare area. And it was
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
But, and it was flexible when you could come. And,
yeah, yeah.
and so there was, it wasn't bad that way. But the hotel right next door was just as nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wasn't tied in. I wasn't obligated.
Sure.
I wasn't being taxed. It wasn't a fee yeah. at the end of the year. And I could choose to say,
right.
you know, I'm going to go to Puerto Vallarta this year.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the family down to Cancun. I'm going to,
yeah.
I didn't have to go.
You weren't married to Aruba
yeah.
every single year.
Yeah.
Same shit over yeah. and
well,
over
the
again.
The thing that happened to me is when I bought it, round trip tickets to Aruba were like $400
okay.
or $375. And once they got up to $700, I thought, I'm going to frickin' Aruba.
yeah.
Why am I paying? You know, and I'm
going to Orlando for $175.
Well, yeah. I've got four people going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So once you rent the car and
yeah.
get the round trip tickets and you
yeah.
do, you got a lot of money invested yeah. before you even leave and you're going to the same damn place.
Yeah.
So at some point you go
to Fort Myers for half the price.
Yeah. Why do I need this? But I actually sold that timeshare. Did okay.
Yeah.
I think I bought it for $21 and sold it for $18.
Well, that's the thing you do about
$3,000.
If you buy a place, you can always sell it.
Yeah.
Provided the market's going up
well,
and
yeah,
New York City real estate is worth something. But, you know, it's a pain in the ass. Do I need this asset that has this paper value?
Yes, and they're going to send you a bill once
yeah,
a year and say, here's our maintenance
right,
fees.
Yeah.
By the way,
yeah.
you owe us another yeah. $2,500 for the year.
I own a home that, like, if I sold my home right now because I've been paying into that mortgage for 15 years, I'd be rich by my definition. But I'd also be homeless.
Yeah, but
it doesn't make sense
yeah,
to
but the
sell
weird
it
thing
and
about
take
that
the
is
money out.
You could sell your home.
Yeah.
You're going to lose 6% to the realtor.
Okay.
Okay, that's gone.
All right.
So out of your value, you're
yeah.
losing 6%.
Sure.
Then you're going to go buy another home.
Yeah.
You're going to lose 6%.
Yeah.
To the next realtor.
Yeah.
Which means you're going to take the value of your home, reduce it by 12%,
uh-huh.
and find out you can buy a house that's worth 12% less than the one you just moved out of.
Yeah.
You don't gain anything.
That's true.
Also, I lived in my house, my original house, I actually built by hand for, I'm going to say 10 years. I actually framed it and built
yeah.
it. And I think the cost was like $33,000 when I bought it. And it was like, when I built it, and
yeah.
it was like $80,000 when I sold it.
Yeah.
But if you take all the years and figure out,
yeah.
even at 10%, your money doubles every 7 years
yeah.
and figure out, the investment wasn't that great of an investment.
No.
A return on my money was only about 4%.
Yeah.
That, and can I find an investment for that money that's
right.
going to make more than 4%?
Yeah.
Now, the other point is you got to live someplace.
Yeah,
so you
have to live someplace.
But strictly as an investment, real estate yeah. isn't necessarily that good.
Well, the people that I hear that make money, and believe me, we're going to get off this topic soon. I don't know why it's
yeah,
the Joel and Ted investment hour,
yeah.
but here it is. The thing is, the guys that I know guys, I've heard stories anyway, the guys that have to buy the homes and rent them,
yes.
those guys do well.
Yeah.
Those guys can actually make money. You get enough rental properties. You have enough cash coming in that you can cover all those expenses. You can cover the maintenance and the insurance, and you can do some of the stuff.
It depends
yourself.
On how deep your pockets are. Yeah. And if you do that, you have to kind of build into the program.
Yeah.
Well, you got to figure you're going to have 20% vacancy.
Yeah.
You know, and plus you got maintenance on all these places, so you're going to have headaches, and the people that rent them are not going to respect them.
Sure.
If you go low end, they're going to beat the shit out of them.
Yeah, well,
if you go high end, you're going to have a hard time renting the things out.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not something that takes care of itself. If you want something that takes care of itself, buy a storage facility.
Oh.
Because once people move into storage facilities, they never move out.
Here's one thing I heard about storage facilities, and you tell me if this is right or wrong, or maybe you've heard this or not. I was talking to a guy, and he said the reason that they're building all these storage facilities, now there's a boom in storage facilities in the state of Michigan, is that it's the marijuana business is renting the storage facilities, because what it is there's restrictions on an individual on how many plants you can grow, how much of the stuff you can have around.
Yeah.
If you store that in your home and you are raided and found to be doing something illegal, your home can be confiscated. If you have this stuff in a storage facility, that you don't have, they cannot take that from you.
Well, I think you'd have to establish an LLC, and the storage facility would have to be leased out to the LLC.
Okay.
So there's some insulation that way. But I have an LLC.
But they said actually, that's the boom, though. So if you drive by a rental spot, it's full of marijuana. According to my guy I talked to.
I used to call on an architect up north, or an engineer, electrical engineer up north, and she had an office in the funky kind of warehouse thing. And she didn't use up that much space, and she had this huge office.
Yeah.
And she eventually broke it up into storage spaces. And she loved her tenants because she said they never leave.
Well, they're never there. They're not there, and they never leave. Yeah,
they never leave. And
doesn't cost you anything.
Stuff's going to be there until they die. They're not going to use the stuff. It's ridiculous that people don't know how to get rid of shit.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on. We always do this. And Ted, you know, when I know I'm seeing Ted, this is one of the reasons I like you as a guest on this show.
Talk about anything.
I talk about anything, but I'm talking about movies and TV.
Yes.
And I go, hey, did you see this? You usually go, no. But if I get a hold of you ahead of time, you'll actually go see the thing that I tell you to see.
Yes.
Which is great.
And you're going to reimburse me for that, I
know. Yes. I'll be sending the... So I know one of the big movies, and certainly Oscars are only a couple weeks away. In fact, the next show that I'm doing is Joel Radio is going to be Movie Mania, where we run down the best shows, movies of the year.
Very cool.
Give our Oscar predictions. So it'll be the week of the Oscars.
Everybody should tune in for that.
Early February. When I look at my stats, it is the biggest show of the year.
Do you do it before the Oscars?
I do it before because these are my best movies of the year.
Yes.
And it serves as a preview of what we think will win or not win and all that.
Yeah.
Anyway. One of the favorites to be Best Picture is a movie called 1917 about World War I. It follows a couple of soldiers in World War I. It is done in the form of one continuous shot. At least that's
what they say.
There's some special effects involved in making it look like one entire shot. I saw this the other night. I thought it was incredible. I thought they did a great job with it. And... I mean, I was pretty blown away. I mean, as far as movies, it's unique in that it really is just following this two guys or the one guy and watching what he goes through and emotional. It wasn't, to me, it was more of, it is a war movie, but it is not a meditation on war. And like, it's not supposed to be a war movie that you're supposed to be able to follow these guys are winning, these guys are losing. It's literally about this one mission on one day with the one guy and his buddy. It kind of served as almost like more of an action adventure type movie than what you would call like a war movie.
Right.
And I thought it was great. What'd you think?
You know,
You're looking at me.
I liked it. No, actually,
you liked it?
Okay. Well, I think the interesting thing to me is, and I'm older, so I've been around, you know, for a while, and I think the idea that there's never going to be another war like this is kind of interesting. And it's interesting to try to, I don't want to say it's a tribute to it, but kind of to document what it was like.
In World War One. Yeah. Yes. There aren't a lot of World War One movies. I mean, to me, the one that comes to mind is a famous one is Paths of Glory.
Right, right.
Which was Stanley Kubrick's.
But there's never going to be a World War Two either.
Yeah.
This hand-to-hand combat, shooting each other, jeopardizing your life in order to kill somebody else. This whole thing is
very brutal.
But you know what? They're going to do it with drones. It's all in the future. Yeah, okay. It's never going to be like this. So I think that's interesting. But I got to tell you that I thought the filming of the movie was outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
There was so many the artistic scenes where he was silhouetted.
Sure, yeah.
It's a really the cool lighting background. It was Alfred Hitchcock. Ish.
Yeah,
that it, sure. Really, the filming set the mood of it.
And well, there's that scene with the flares. And as the flare goes over this little town, the shadows change.
Yes.
And so he's running from shadow to shadow to not be spotted by snipers.
But he's silhouetted in the window when he's talking. And I think at the, I can't say, at one part.
We don't want to ruin it. But
He walks up to a tree and the tree has been hacked away at the bottom but growing at the top. I think there's a lot of symbolism in, in what they're doing how they did it. But also, the music, the soundtrack, the audio on this film was outstandingly good. Because when you think about it, it's really just two guys. And, I mean, they bump into some people along the way here and there.
Right.
But there's not a lot of big group conversations. And but the whole mood of the movie is kind of taken over by the soundtrack and the sound effects.
Yeah.
I think it has to win some awards. I think
for,
it has
for
to be,
sound editing and all that stuff.
And also, I think for the look of cinematography.
Yeah, sure, yeah. I agree.
It's a great, great movie.
I agree. I think this movie, again, I will... Is this my favorite movie of the year? You'll have to listen to Movie Mania to figure it out, but it's certainly a great movie and deserves any accolades that it gets. It won the Golden Globe for Best Picture Drama.
Yeah.
Well, they do Best Picture Drama, Best Picture Musical or Comedy.
Yeah.
And I believe Once Upon a Time in Hollywood won the Musical or Comedy thing. And if you've listened to the show, you know my thoughts on that, and I'll have more on Movie Mania. But 1917 was excellent. I think everyone should go see it. And then again, here's the thing, too. You got to see this one in the theater. You really, because I'm telling you,
that's right.
You will not, it's tremendous. You will not experience, at home, I know a lot of you, and I certainly do have the surround sound, you have the whole setup, and it's great, and you can get that movie theater feel, but nothing like you're going to get by seeing this on a giant screen, big subwoofers. I saw it in what was called a Dolby Cinema, which is pretty incredible. You got to see it.
I thought it was going to be a snoozer.
No.
And I actually was up till 3 o'clock in the morning the night before and went to like a 10:30 matinee. So I had to get up at like 8, 9 o'clock. And I thought, and I got one of those lounging chairs that goes back.
Okay.
I thought, I'm going to sleep through this.
Yeah.
My daughter's going to have to poke me to keep me from snoring.
Yeah.
But actually, I stayed awake through the whole thing. It was very entertaining.
Yeah, it was from the get-go.
Yes.
Yeah,
from the get-go. It was great.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Another movie. Now, this one, you pretty much have to watch at home, I guess, at this point. But and you told me you were going to see it, but I watched it. And again, talk about something you assume is a snoozer and something that looks boring as hell. But to me, was fascinating is a movie called The Two Popes. It's out on Netflix, and it's basically two popes. It was Pope Francis and Pope, what was the other guy's name? Benedict.
Yes.
Pope Benedict and Francis.
In the year 2013, I think,
and
is when
Pope,
this happened.
Pope John Paul II dies. Pope Benedict becomes the Pope.
Right.
Pope Francis was in the run. The guy who becomes Pope Francis was in the running to be the Pope. He was progressive.
Right.
The guy who became Pope Benedict was a German guy who was very conservative, and they had this sort of friendship or the camaraderie.
Yes.
Now, while the story is true, the conversations are made up based upon their publicly known.
Yeah, but I think the positions
are
the positions
publicly known.
Were
and
correct.
So they and I was blown away by The Two Popes. I thought this movie was awesome. I think it was one of the best movies of the year.
Yeah.
The acting, the guy, what is the guy's name? Oh, I'm blanking. I'll look it up. The guy who plays Pope Francis.
Yeah.
Jonathan Pryce is his name. Should really win Best Actor.
Yeah.
He was so great. He looks like him. He sounds like him. He's from Argentina, in real life. And Jonathan Pryce is an English guy doing this. Oh, I really love Two Popes. This is one of the guys, the movie I'm referring to was directed by two guys. But have you ever seen the movie The City of God, which is one of the greatest movies ever? It's from Brazil. This was one of the directors of City of God.
Okay.
And if you saw City of God, it looks amazing. It's one of the greatest movies ever. one of the co-directors of that made this, and I was blown away. Anthony Hopkins.
Well, Anthony Hopkins is great.
He's nominated for Best Supporting Actor. He's a little bit of a smaller role.
Well, I don't know if it's smaller or not. But
well, it's more about Francis, but yeah, okay.
Yeah. You have to be good to act with Anthony Hopkins. Yeah. It's just going to be at that
Anthony
level.
Anthony Hopkins, Jonathan Pryce, incredible.
And really, when you think about it, it's really just kind of a long conversation between the two guys.
There's other stuff in it. Yeah, you see flashbacks to Argentina.
Yeah.
And there's an actor that plays Pope Francis as a young man who I thought did a great job as well.
Neat to see the Vatican, too. That was very awesome.
Yes, and you know, the Vatican completely made in special effects.
Really?
Yes. The stories, you can get, so I saw it on YouTube. You can go on YouTube and look up the making of the two popes. When they have the reporters reporting on, you know, is it white smoke or black smoke?
Yeah.
That was all green screen. Oh. And they put the background extras in there later.
Yeah.
They used some photographs. And then the Sistine Chapel, which is where you go and it's all the paintings on the ceiling. For those of you that don't know the Vatican and, you know, all that stuff, Rome. That was created in a studio. They had the walls of the Sistine Chapel, and then the ceiling was done digitally, superimposed.
Oh, I could see that.
Incredible.
But it looked great. It
looks just like it.
It's incredible. Yeah, it looked great.
Yeah. And lots of really cool scenes where, you know, the Pope sit down and eat pizza.
You know,
and
yeah,
it's fascinating stuff.
It personalized the Pope a little bit, which is kind of, it was kind of an insight into that, which was cool.
I was raised Catholic. I am an atheist. But I was raised Catholic.
Yes.
And you think, oh, I hate Catholics and I hate all their dogma. And to some degree, that's true. But I loved this movie.
Yeah.
And I think even if you're like a devout Catholic, it's making these people more human. It's, you know, humanizing them and showing that, you know, they are conflicted at times.
Right.
And sometimes they don't know the right thing to do. And the church is so monolithic in its beliefs and its values that the fact that Francis would come in and change some of those things, I thought was excellent.
So it was a great story. You liked the movie.
I think it's one of the best movies of the year. What'd you think?
You know.
All right.
No, I thought the acting was great. It was a great movie. What they did, the way they produced it, the way they wrote it, it was very entertaining. I thought it was beautifully acted. I thought the scenery was great.
Yeah.
I thought the story had some comic relief. I don't think they could have done
it. It's funny at times.
I don't think they could have done any more with that.
Benedict plays the piano.
But I think, yes, but I think the screenwriter should be shot.
Wait. What is your problem with this movie?
My problem is that for some unknown reason, other than, you know, giving a wave to the politically correct people out there, they decided they would show pictures of building the wall.
In the United States?
Between Mexico. Yes, between Mexico and the U.S., they showed pictures of the wall.
Well, I mean, that was like 2 seconds.
It was like, I know. All of a sudden, they go out of the year 2013, flash forward to 2017 to say that people aren't always nice. And matter of fact, look at Trump as an asshole.
Okay, well, that's a tiny.
Yeah, but why are they doing that? It has nothing to do.
And well, because there's a lot of current affairs that the popes discuss, and it's all in there.
Hold it. It was a lost opportunity. Now, my ex-wife taught at a Catholic school.
Okay.
All my kids are Catholic.
Yeah.
I worked at the Catholic school. I remember when the bishop came in and told the administration and the teachers of the Catholic school that your school is not Catholic enough. And that's because the primary reason for Catholic schools is making little Catholics.
Oh.
It isn't to give people a better education. It's indoctrination to Catholicism, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. But when you have an organization that has the financial upheaval where that people are donating money, millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars to the Pope's charitable funds, and it's being siphoned off, and there's this great big controversy about that, and you also have priests molesting children.
That's brought up in the movie.
It's brought up briefly.
Oh, come on.
That's what the movie should be about.
Yeah.
And also the fact that the middle class has grown in the United States and people are walking away from the church because they don't have the need for that anymore.
These
are all big, huge issues that are still out there in the ether and they could have been addressing, and they mention them. They say, it's a little tough now because of this. These are the issues that are pulling the Catholic Church apart after thousands of years.
I think
it was an opportunity to have these two popes. Also, the Pope that retired came in recently and made commentary on what was going on in the church, and he wasn't supposed to do that. So there's a lot of things to talk about, and they missed their chance. Instead, they decided to say Trump's an asshole.
Shocked by this because I think they cover all that. I think they do.
Did they talk about when they're putting priests in prison for molesting children?
Well, there was a cover. Okay, but with Benedict, there was a cover up with one of his aides. One of his aides, and it's shown. He went to jail, and it's shown in the movie.
What about all those pedophiles out there?
A movie about pedophilia.
About the church falling apart. And it's about the church trying to become more liberal and changing who they are. Also,
I don't know
what they're talking about now is having married men be priests in the church. This is a big topic of conversation because they aren't creating pedophiles. They're recruiting pedophiles. And this is what the movie should have been about. That's just
my opinion.
They talk
about how Francis was not for celibacy. And is not for, so they have not officially changed that, but I believe his position is that priests should be able to have relationships with women.
I think so too.
But he hasn't made that change, but that could be coming, and I think it's covered in there. I don't know.
They mentioned it, but
It's mentioned. It's fine.
What's pulling the whole thing apart. That's what the movie should be about.
It's about these two men, and I don't want to.
We're friends, but
I enjoy the two popes. It's on Netflix.
Let's take turns being the pope.
Some of the best acting you'll ever see.
It's good acting.
Shot beautifully.
It was,
and not as boring certainly as you think.
No, screenwriters should be shot. That'd be a good ending to that movie. They just bring him on screen and just shoot him and go, dude, you missed your chance.
Here's a movie. Angry white guy shoots screenwriter of movie about guy. That's the movie I want to see. A crazy man with a podcast murders a screenwriter because he's angry about the two popes.
Just glad to have an opinion.
Boy, I might have 12 movies on this list that I've seen since the last show.
I'll keep quiet.
Because I'm crunching. I'm only going to get to do one because we're running out of time. And I think the one I'm going to talk about is a movie that is nominated for Best Picture.
And it is?
And it is not one of the best pictures of the year, according to me.
Okay.
It's called Little Women. Little Women.
That's a famous book.
They've made lots of movie adaptations over the years about Little Women. And
The trailer is pretty good.
Well, I've never seen any version of this Little Women, to be honest with you.
Maybe Big Women are more up your alley. Young women?
I've always sort of avoided Little Women because I know it's a book. It's a book by Louisa May Alcott. Okay,
right.
It was a novel from 1868, and they make one of these about every. There was one that was on the BBC as like a television miniseries not that long ago.
I hate it when they do that.
This is directed by Greta Gerwig, who's an actress and now has directed a couple of movies. She directed a movie. What was her Lady Bird a few years ago, which was a good movie. Saoirse Ronan was the star of Lady Bird and is the star of Little Women. It also stars Emily Watson from the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah.
A girl named Florence Pugh, who's been in a bunch of movies, including Midsummer from this year, which I saw, which I'll probably talk about on Movie Mania. And Laura Dern is in this. Meryl Streep is in this. A lot of famous people, good actors. But here's the thing about Little Women. The movie takes place in two different eras.
Yeah.
7 years apart. The daughter, one of the little women, meaning they're all these daughters of this couple,
right.
Okay, four girls, they all live together, is an author. And the movie opens with her trying to sell an article to, I think it's a magazine, okay, something like that. And it starts there, and then it's a flashback to her family in the midst of the Civil War, and the husband is away at war, and the dad is away at war.
Yeah.
And then the movie begins to jump back and forth between 7 years prior to the past. It gets so goddamn confusing,
right?
Because this woman, Saoirse Ronan, you can't even tell it's what year it is. You have no idea.
I had the same problem with the two popes. All of a sudden, they're building the wall.
Okay,
I'm going, what year is this?
Then, these little women, they sometimes they open on scenes where they open in a long shot. yeah. and you see a woman walking around through a garden, you don't know which of these four women
Little
it
women is. Yeah.
So every time this movie cuts, you have to figure out who, where is this? Who is in this? When is this?
Yeah.
It drives you fucking crazy.
Yeah.
The one daughter ends up with children. Some scenes she has children. Sometimes she doesn't.
Yeah.
This whole thing is all over the place. So I type in, when I'm done watching Little Women, which drove me fucking nuts, I type into Google, Little Women confusing.
Yeah.
And it turns out a lot of the reviewers were like, they made this weird thing that was very confusing, even to the people that reviewed the movie and liked it. They found it confusing. I'm going out of my goddamn mind.
Yeah, that's
too
bad.
This thing is, it's just like, and again, you know, it's women trying to find husbands in, you know, at the end of the 19th century.
Whose fault is it that it's cut together like that?
It's the director's fault. My guess is that the director knows that there's been all of these Little Women adaptations over the years. I think there was one with Susan Sarandon as the mom in the 90s. Yeah. And I think she was just trying to do something different. So it didn't feel like all of those.
She's going
to
Pulp Fiction it, just kind of do it disjointed.
One of the reviewers said that you are supposed to know the source material because they teach Little Women the book in schools.
No.
And that if you knew the source material, you'd have no problem following along because, oh, this is the scene where she falls into the lake, and then this is the scene where then it's like, I had never heard or seen Little Women. I always avoided it. I watch it because it gets Oscar nominated, and I watch all the Oscar nominated stuff, and I went out of my goddamn mind. Avoid Little Women.
Yeah.
I did not enjoy it. And I know you look up, it's got the good Rotten Tomatoes, it's got the good Metacritic numbers, whatever. I could not stand this fucking thing. I was confused. I mean, look, an hour in, did you start to figure it out a little bit more and it started to make more sense? Sure. But it was an hour of just pulling my hair out.
Did you take Layla with you?
Layla watched it with me.
Was it two sleeping ladies or three sleeping ladies? One sleeping lady or?
One sleeping lady, yes. She doesn't like the sleepy awards, my girlfriend's own version of the Oscars. What did she fall asleep during? Yeah. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is probably the
More sleeping lady is the worst the movie is. Five sleeping
ladies.
She
did not fall asleep during it, but she also did not like it.
Yeah,
either.
It's just a waste of time.
Little Women, try to avoid that. It's nominated for Best Picture. I think, and again, you know, I don't want to be a jerk about this, and you could sound like a jerk, but I don't want to be a guy that's like, well, they just nominated a female director because they needed a female director and a female cast and all some. But boy,
That even come to mind?
I don't know. Not an Oscar Academy voter. I don't know how that works.
No. I mean, how's it come to your mind that it might have been a sexist thing?
Well, it's a terrible movie that got nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, but so did that divorce movie.
Okay, but look, there's reasons for everything. I didn't like Marriage Story any more than you did, and my girlfriend, she might have fallen asleep during that one.
Two sleepy ladies.
The Irishman is the one she fell asleep during.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
Well, that was long.
She went into another room to sleep during The Irishman.
Sleep during this thing.
We've said enough.
Okay.
We got to wrap it up.
All right.
I have a dinner date with said sleeping lady.
All right. Well, good luck with that.
And my family as well.
Yeah, so I'm going to get online and see if I can get a date.
You please do.
Yes.
We talked a lot about dating on your show. So hopefully they get a chance. And when we know, because I don't think it's going up, I think this will be up before.
Yes.
We'll mention the episode of TED Talks Too Much, where you can hear me tell my story about radio and all that stuff. And
it's called TED Talks Too Much, but really it was Joel Talks Too Much. If we're to be honest. It was just a lot of Joel.
That we've done both shows.
You know, I always get a lot of Joel when I'm in your presence. So I'm good with that.
Was I not a good guest?
Oh, you're a great guest.
Well, you're a great guest.
I mean, I could go use the restroom and I'd come back.
Could.
The show would still be going.
I feel like you're criticizing now, Ted.
No, I'm going to put some drops in there
That's not nice.
No, you're great. I love having you here.
Ted. Well, listen, it's a pleasure. I think you got a nice studio here. I like what you've done. And hopefully continued success in podcasting as I approach my 15th anniversary.
And thanks for all the coaching.
Yeah, I'll try to help you out.
I appreciate that.
Ted sent me pictures of all the swim and said, do I need all this? I said, no, you don't. He says, I don't give a shit. I bought it anyway. I said, don't buy that. Buy this. He goes, nah, fuck you. I bought this. Exactly. How do you do? All right, let's get out of here. Thanks for listening to Joel Radio, everybody. Next time, Movie Mania, talking all the movies. That's one of my favorite shows to do, and I know you guys love it too. So we'll catch you next time on Joel Radio. Good night. Can I turn this up a little bit?